legend. It means you're really old. And but I appreciate your nice comment. It's good to be here.
You've been a legend for a long time, though. So it's in your case, it's because you're very accomplished. So
yeah,
that's
some good. If you have good players and you win a few games,
yes,
that's important.
Just a few.
How often since I guess you retired officially as AD in January? Is that right?
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How often do you do speaking engagements like today?
Oh, I speak somewhere maybe 3 or 4 times a week. But as far as traveling out of state, maybe 3 or 4 times a month. So it's nice to be invited down here. And I've always liked people in Arkansas. And saw Chris Peterson today.
Yeah.
And Chris is a good friend of mine. Mm-hmm. So it's good.
We've talked about you a lot. Coach Peterson and I are pretty good buddies, too. We play golf occasionally, and we usually end up talking about Nebraska football. I'm an Iowa State graduate, as he may have told you.
Yeah, he mentioned that.
So I will tell you how it was at my house. We always respected you, and we always had to hate on Nebraska because you guys didn't treat us very well when I was in school or growing up. We had some rough years. But you obviously, we've been talking about some of the legendary teams and players you coached over the years. And I hate to ask these sort of cliche questions, but I want to ask you, if you had to pick one back to run with, who would be your guy?
Well, probably Mike Rozier.
Yeah.
And you know, Roger Craig wouldn't be very far behind. He's a heck of a player. And so we've had a lot of great running backs over the years and some very good offensive lines. And, of course, they made those running backs better.
Right.
So
we were talking about, we were just talking about that too, I guess. An Arkansas running back got in trouble over the weekend for going up and celebrating with the fans. And an upperclassman offensive lineman went up and said, hey, you come back and celebrate with us because we helped get you there. And I'm sure that was a message you probably passed along over the years.
Well, we tried to, first of all, imbue them with the idea that act like you've been there before in the end zone, you know. And then secondly, certainly to give credit to the other players, and because it does take a whole team to put you in the end zone.
You went on to a political career after coaching because I guess you didn't deal with enough public scrutiny when you were a coach. But you obviously felt like you could do some good there. Is there another coach you think, you know what, if that guy wanted to go into politics, I think he'd do well? Or do you think that there's probably a lot of coaches that would be good at that?
Well, you know, there's been quite a few who have thought about it. But I know Lou Holtz at one time was thinking about running for office, and various people have. But it does open you up to a lot of scrutiny, and it's not a real comfortable existence. Of course, you know, I had 25 years being a head coach, so scrutiny was part of our lives, and we opened ourselves up a little bit more. But it's the thing that I felt about it was that somebody's got to do it. And right now, it is so rough. A lot of people just simply don't want to get involved. And that's a concern of mine because, you know, you got to have good people in government. And right now, we have an awful lot of politicians who are professional politicians. And John Boozman, good friend of mine, and John was an optometrist, you know, and he did something else. He ran a business. So those are the kind of people we need there. And John is really a good guy. And but so often people simply have spent their whole life in politics, and I don't think that's very healthy.
You've dealt with a lot of high-profile athletes over the years. Johnny Manziel was a guy we seemingly couldn't stop talking about in the offseason, and in the early part of the season here he's getting talked about a lot as well, both for his play and for other things as well. How did you handle a situation like that? And certainly the media, you know, has changed with the amount of scrutiny that the players are under now, but how did you handle high-profile players like that, or did you have to?
Well, I really don't recall very many that had difficulties. And I met Johnny back at the Walter Camp Awards last winter. Seemed like a nice guy. Seemed kind of shy and a little bit bored with the whole thing. You know, we were sitting around there for 2 days, and I didn't blame him. I was bored, too. But I think certainly his coach has to make sure that things are kept in perspective. But, you know, this guy went from maybe number 3 on the depth chart to Heisman Trophy overnight. And so it's an awful lot, awful fast. And as you know, with winning the Heisman Trophy, you're in the center of everything. And so everything you say, every move you make, you know, if he was just a run-of-the-mill quarterback, I'm sure it would have been pretty much unnoticed. But so he's got to understand that he's got that spotlight on him, and he's got to live with it and live with it respectfully.
Tom Osborne joining us in the zone today. He's going to speak here at the Little Rock Touchdown Club in just a little bit here. we were talking earlier, I guess, and Chris, one of the questions he wanted to ask about was, and it was something that my family talked about a lot as being Big 8 fans. We grew up around it, but the national championship and the decision to go for two, and I'm sure you probably get asked about it about every time you do an interview, but we were joking earlier about if you could go back in time, would you do it all over again the same way?
Well, I probably would, because I just assumed that if you were going to win a championship, you had to go for the win. You know, I didn't know what was going on over in the Sugar Bowl at that time, and I remember the big hullabaloo when Michigan State and Notre Dame tied, and seemed like coaches kind of settled for the tie, and I just didn't think you could back into that, and we'd had a really strong, very powerful offensive football team. We'd averaged over 50 points a game, and I'm sure our players would have always thought that we could have made 3 yards. And they did line up like I thought they would. We had a play that we thought would work. But they had a guy that came off of Irving Fryer. He was covering Irving, who was on a slant. And the guy saw what was happening, and he dove, and the ball was just a little bit behind the receiver, and the guy got a fingertip on it. Mm-hmm. And so it was literally a matter of an inch, and but that's football, you know. Yes, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose.
Your last championship came over Florida, and one of the more impressive performances. I think it, you know, no matter how you're prognosticating that one, it was a pretty dominating performance. Did you see that coming in that game? Did you guys feel like you had some distinct advantages in that last national title you won?
I didn't. I really didn't know who was going to win. They were undefeated, and they had a very good team. But I did feel, I had a very strong feeling that we were going to really play well. I mean, the chemistry was excellent. The practices, you know, you hardly had to say a word to a player. They're just, everybody was so focused, and everything was in sync. And so I knew we were going to play a good ball game. And but I think most people felt that Florida, with their high-powered passing game and fun gun, whatever, that they would probably win. But Steve Spurrier and I are good friends, and then the next year, you know, he won the national championship. So he certainly learned from that game and recovered and did very well.
Didn't Frazier have some health issues that year? Didn't he have some blood clot issues or something? Was that before or after that?
It was before. In 94, he had blood clots, and after the fourth game of the season, and we had a number two quarterback, Brooke Behringer, who came in and took us to the national championship, and then Tommy in 95, but in 93, we lost to Florida State by 2 points. You know, missed a field goal right at the end of the game, and so we played for 3 straight national championships.
The one thing I'm having a hard time getting used to with all the changes going on in the landscape of college football is getting used to Nebraska and the Big Ten, and I understand why. I mean, it's certainly, you know, from a, you know, standpoint of stability, it made a lot of sense. But I'm having a hard time wrapping my mind around that. How do you think the transition has worked? And, you know, of course, they made it to the championship game last year in the league, so I guess that's a positive. But overall, has it been a hard adjustment for you?
No, I think it's been good. You have to understand the situation we were in, because the I believe the 6 schools in the Southern Division had agreed in principle with the Pac-12 to go to the Pac-12, and led by Texas. And then when the Pac-12 said to Texas, you know, you're going to have to surrender all of your rights to television, i.e. the Longhorn Network and everything, that no longer was agreeable. And, again, I don't know that for sure, but we were – it appeared as though the league was essentially going to simply disintegrate. And so when the Big Ten said they would have us, that certainly seemed to make a lot of sense to us, because we could have been out there on a branch with somebody sawing it off and no league at all. And but academically it's been good, and I think it's been a good fit, because we're now playing people who have similar weather, similar geography, you know, with some of your sports like tennis and golf and softball and baseball. At North-South, split was kind of tough from a recruiting standpoint.
Yeah, I bet it was. One last thing, and then we'll let you go. National championship obviously is going to be determined by a playoff going forward. You guys were part of a split national championship 1 year with Michigan. You like the way it's set up as far as what they determined with the 4 teams?
Well, it's here, and so we better accept it. I am concerned about the length of season. You know, when I first started coaching in 62, we had a 10-game season. It wasn't long before that was 9, and now it's 15 if you're in that championship game.
Yeah.
And you know that once you go to that 4-team playoff, there's going to be a tremendous clamoring for 8 and then 16. Mm-hmm. And heck, an NFL season is 16 games. And so you got spring ball, you got year-round conditioning, and at some point, you know, football is a tough game, and you gotta respect the player's health and the fact that they are going to school. And so we'll give it a try, and it does double the television money, and hopefully it'll be a good thing.
We look forward to hearing your comments at the podium in just a little bit. We appreciate you spending some time with us today. It's been a great honor. Appreciate
Thank you. Nice to talk to you guys.
You too.
Thank you, Dr. Osborne.
All right, that's Tom Osborne, who is obviously, it goes without saying, a legend here in college football. We are up against